WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Deputy U.S. Attorney General Todd Blanche meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell in Tallahassee, Florida Thursday as the push for answers grows in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Maxwell currently serving a 20-year sentence for her role in Epstein's sex trafficking of minors. ABC's Catherine Falders.
After that meeting, of course, they were behind closed doors here at the courthouse in the U.S. Attorney's office. But we caught Ghislaine Maxwell's lawyer, David Marcus, who said, well, she answered all the questions and answered them honestly. There were a lot of questions that we went all day, and she answered every single one of them, but no indication on exactly what she was asked by the Deputy Attorney General, what specific topics that she focused on.
After weeks of simmering tensions, armed clashes have now broken out between Thailand and Cambodia along a disputed area of their border. Amid warnings of a growing famine in Gaza, French President Emmanuel Macron announcing his country will now recognize a Palestinian state. This is ABC News. More than 140 million Americans are going to feel the extreme heat heading into the weekend. Scorching heat, high humidity in the Midwest moving east. Indexes threaten from the Mid-South all the way to Maine. ABC News meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
The heat is from the Mid-South to the Great Lakes. Feels like over 100 from Shreveport all the way to Detroit. That heat, it expands to the East Coast. It'll feel like 105 to 110 from New York to Philly, even close to 109 in D.C. That will bring thunderstorms in the afternoon hours to the I-95 corridor. Could impact the evening commute. Damaging winds a possibility and heavy downpours. That will bring some brief relief to the Northeast over the weekend before another heat wave next week. The Southeast stays hot.
Union leaders representing thousands of Safeway workers in Northern California are negotiating with the company for higher wages and better benefits. Those leaders have set a Friday night deadline for reaching a deal. After that, they say employees will strike. UFCW Union Local 5 is one of three unions who represent 25,000 workers. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The John and Gordy Show.
I'm damn awful tired of dealing with flat forks. Who made flat forks in the first place? They could have cupped it just a little bit, right? No one likes forks. Am I the only one?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers coming home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, a good West Coast trip for the Brewers, winning five of their six games. Yesterday, 17 hits in a 10-2 victory over the Mariners. Bryce Terang went 3 out of 5 with 3 runs batted in. Manager Pat Murphy.
Terang, you know, responded with some hits and a lot of good performances. Ortiz, really good, played good defense, relentless, kind of stayed with it, scored in a bunch of different innings. That's what it takes.
The Brewers at home tomorrow night against the Marlins. NFL, the Packers training camp underway. The players getting their first look at their new state-of-the-art locker room.
Oh, man, I was amazed. Obviously, we, you know, knew all throughout OTAs that they've been building this new locker room and putting a lot of work into it. This is completely different than obviously the locker room we were in before, and it's very cool. So very high tech, you know, everything's very nice in here. So we're definitely blessed to be in here.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight, showers and storms ending, mostly cloudy skies. We'll be near 70 at sunrise, a light west wind. On Friday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, a couple of showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-80s, some heavy rainfall coming our way Friday night. Right now, it's 73.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about all things Green Bay. And also, the Packers are back at training camp. We'll discuss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at mda75.org.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
On location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh reporting live from Green Bay Preble High School in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And welcome into this special edition, special report edition of the Todd Albaugh Show. Back at the world headquarters in Madison, our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zomers. Zomers, big day. Lots of breaking news. Of course, the passing of Hulk Hogan due to a cardiac arrest was reported. Also, the passing of legendary musician Chuck Mangione. But believe it or not, that is not the top breaking news story across the state of Wisconsin today. Hello, everybody. Welcome and welcome in and joining us here. We are here for the Wisconsin Publication Education Network Summit. We're going to talk a lot about public education in the state, particularly in hour two. But first, to the breaking news story of the day, highly anticipated for some, not particularly a surprise. Perhaps for others, it is. Regardless, it is going to send off an earthquake politically in this state for 2026. About 2 hours ago at high noon via Twitter account, Wisconsin Democratic Governor Tony Evers made the announcement that many were waiting for, and this is what he said.
Hey, Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers here. You know, I was a scrawny kid with glasses who grew up scraping mold off of cheese. I never dreamed I'd end up governor of Wisconsin, but here I am. The last 6 years, you welcomed me in through your churches, businesses, classrooms, farms, hospitals, and communities. I cherish every moment, every tour, visit, high five, question, and selfie. It's the honor of my life to be able to give back to the state that raised me. I promised you when I ran for this office, and I always worked to do the right thing, and I always give it to you straight, and that I'd always try to be a governor for all of Wisconsin. And I work every day to keep those promises. That'll never change. I began my run for governor as a proud Plymouth progressive, and that's still who I am today. I'm a science teacher at heart who ended up running for office and winning 5 straight statewide elections. So would I win if I ran a 6th time? Of course. No question about that. But whether I'd win or not has never been part of my calculus about running again. Here's the truth, Wisconsin. The only thing I love more than being your governor is being a husband, a dad, and a grandpa. I spent 50 years in public service. I'm damn proud I devoted my entire career and most of my life to working for you. And from Plymouth to Baraboo, Tolma to Oshkosh, Verona to Madison, and everywhere in between, Kathy and my family supported me all the way. Marrying Kathy is the greatest accomplishment of my life because it gave me a lifetime with her, 3 amazing kids, and 9 incredible grandkids. For 5 decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had. And folks, we are not done yet. There is, as always, much work to do. In Wisconsin, I'll be working just as hard as I have for the last 6 years to keep doing the right thing and deliver for you. So let's get to work. Forward for you and for Wisconsin always. Thank you.
Governor Tony Evers, an announcement about an hour ago, pardon me, 2 hours ago, that he will not seek a third term for governor of the state of Wisconsin. Here to discuss it, news director for Civic Media, Sholly Pittman, joining us from the world headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, and political director of Civic Media, also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, joining us from his studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Dan Schaefer. Sholly, Dan, thanks for taking time for us. I know a lot of people have been waiting for this. Dan Schaefer, you got a lot of press ready to column about it, but today it comes. Tony Evers is out, and we'll see what happens next. Before we move on to what's forward, Sholly, look back with us, if you could, at what has happened. Tony Evers, three-time school superintendent, twice elected governor. He has quite a legacy he leaves behind.
Yes, he touted his five elections and said he would even win a sixth, but that's not why he isn't running, that he wants to spend time with family. Like many working people, he wants to retire, and that makes sense. Evers is currently 73. He was elected when he turned, the day after he turned 67. And if he had gone for a third term, he'd be 75 by the time he's sworn in. He'd be 79 by the end of his third term. So like many working folks, the governor wants to retire after another year in office.
Dan Schaefer, as we said, you wrote a column on this at the Recombobulation Area. Got a lot of press, ruffled some feathers, perhaps. And were you surprised by today's announcement that Tony Evers will not seek a third term?
You know, I think the surprise element of it has perhaps waned a little bit. I think over the past couple of weeks, things seem to be heading in this direction. You know, we saw some of the tea leaves with Evers' fundraising report. There were some other reports last week suggesting that he might be announcing that he would not be running for a third term. So I guess the surprise element isn't quite there at this moment. But I think Tony Evers, as he said, he always looks to do in this state, is doing the right thing here. And I think he should be commended not only for this bold and selfless decision to not seek a third term. I think so many of us who have supported the governor in his two terms in office are grateful for the work that he has done. You know, I think as governor, he brought stability and sanity to the state at a time of genuine crisis in 2020. He defended the state's democracy when it's been under attack. He helped dig out from the damage from Scott Walker's two terms as governor and has delivered a number of important wins for the state despite a hard right obstructionist Republican-controlled legislature. And I think now with having the opportunity to pass the torch to a next generation of leaders, Tony Evers is only bolstering what is going to be a proud legacy as governor in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, we seem to have lost Todd for a second, but Dan, you and I can hold down the fort while he gets reconnected. Dan, let's recap, you know, the many years of Governor Tony Evers. He's known as the education governor. He's a former teacher. He's a former principal. He was state superintendent, as Todd said, of public instruction for a decade. This year, he declared, is the year of the kid. And he has very much centered education in his policies, including when he used a partial veto 2 years ago during the budget process then to lock in school funding increases for the next then 400 years. Now we have 398 years to go on that. So what do you make of, you know, the education governor and centering that, particularly after Governor Walker's time in office and his, you know, the big bill then?
Yeah, he certainly has made that a primary focus of his time as governor. The very creative use of the partial veto in the budget 2 years ago is certainly going to be one of those decisions that's going to stand out. In this most recent budget here, he has touted some increases for special education funding that was part of the new budget that he negotiated in part with Senate Democrats and Republican leaders in the legislature. So I think that is going to be certainly a big part of his legacy as governor in the state of Wisconsin. I think we can also point to two things that happened over the last couple of years here. One, I would say the big shared revenue reform bill that he was able to shepherd through in a bipartisan fashion through the legislature and get signed by the governor. That was a huge win for Wisconsin. That was one of the things that he prioritized as in his reelection campaign, not your typical type of, headline reelection campaign issue to address shared revenue and local funding. But he was able to accomplish that in his term. And I think also bringing new maps to the state of Wisconsin in the legislature and signing that bill, the bill that he to bring new maps to the state, new fairer maps. There's still a lot of work to be done in the long term there, but I think that the shared revenue, new maps, his legacy as the education governor, I think those will be a big part of what we look back on in Tony Evers' two terms in office. And he's still got some work to do, as he noted in his press release, in his letter to Wisconsin on this. I think he's got about 17 months to go as governor, still plenty of time to get a lot of things done. And he said he's going to be, getting back to work after making this announcement here. A pretty proud legacy for Tony Evers in his six plus years now as governor.
Dan Schaefer, Shelly Pittman, thank you very much. A couple of technical difficulties here. We're on location live in Green Bay at Green Bay Preble High School. Thanks so much for doing yeoman's work, as always, there, as I had to step away and readjust things on this end. Forgive me if you guys already talked about this, but either one of you, let's start with Dan, have you heard from any other people around the state in terms of political folks? I mean, what might come next in terms of candidates? But also, maybe as interestingly, what about this Governor Evers agenda that he has laid out here? He's now officially a lame duck. What chance does he have to get any of his real legislation through the legislature, Dan?
Yeah, to that second part of the question there, that will remain to be seen. I think the era of divided government has meant that not a whole lot gets done outside of the state budget. But I know there are a number of priorities that the governor is going to look to address in the coming months. So that is certainly going to be a big thing. And then, we're all working the phones here to try and figure out what exactly is going to be happening with other candidates potentially jumping into the mix. I had previously reported that David Crowley, Milwaukee County executive, he first mentioned to me at the recombobulation area in an interview in December 2023 that he would be interested in running for governor if Evers does not seek another term in office. The other kind of list that I had run through in that piece that you referenced included Attorney General Josh Call, State Senator Kel DeRoyes, former party chair Ben Wickler, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, David Crowley, and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. So I think, there is quite the bench for Democrats in Wisconsin right now. It's going to be interesting to see, how that takes shape in the coming days, weeks, months, and what have you. But I think it's going to make for a really interesting decision for the voters to decide the next path forward for Democrats in Wisconsin.
Shelly Pittman, you're relatively new to civic media. Always happy to have you here. Super happy to have you here. But you are not new to the news business. You're with WORT as the news director there in Madison for a number of years. You know the scene well. What are your sources saying in terms of perhaps legislatively what the fallout might be, and also politically?
Well, we're 2 hours in, so I don't want to say anything out of school. But I do want to say that this is the first open race for governor since 2010. It's the first in 15 years without an incumbent running. So on the Republican side, obviously, we have two candidates already declared, Josh Shulman, Bill Berrien. We also have some folks hinting at a run. But as for Democratic candidates, I remember 2018. Do you remember the 10 other candidates in that primary? It was a lot. We had debates right here in Madison and elsewhere. And so I expect we're going to see that again.
looking back, let's take to about a minute here. So I guess let's start with you, Sholly, and someone who's covered this governor. What just personally or from a covering standpoint standing out, you know, what do you think that it might be as far as his legacy? I guess Zomers is giving me the high sign here. We got to go to do a little business, as they say. We'll come back. We'll answer that question. But also we'll be joined by a political strategist on the Republican side, Bill McCaution. What does this mean, the announcement of Evers not running for a third term for Republicans? We'll discuss all that as well. Coming back after this, along with Sholly Pittman, Dan Schaefer, I'm Todd Allball, on location at Green Bay Purple High School. It's the Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
It's a party on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, and you're invited every Tuesday at 5:30. It's just Merle and a girl, and Thursdays on the patio feature singer-songwriter Shelly Faith.
Well, hey, bartender, won't you pour me another?
Music starts at 5:30. It's live music on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge every Tuesday and Thursday. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyOafLounge.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The John and Gordy Show.
Never regret having an adjustable bed frame. We got two twins, adjustable. Put them together. Yeah. So, you know, each of us could adjust the bed frame the way we want.
You and Anne, your wife.
Yes, with
Anne. Not talking about John and Gordy. Just clear. People are raising their eyebrows. We're only here for 2 hours. 6 to 8 a.m.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And welcome back live to Green Bay Preble High School in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Todd Allball here live on location today for our special breaking news, special report show. Governor Tony Evers announcing just over 2 hours ago he will not seek a third term. Joining me at our world headquarters back in Madison, Wisconsin, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman, also Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, from his office and studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and very pleased to give us the Republican perspective of today's fallout news, or the fallout from the news. The one, the only, Bill McCaution, former Secretary of Commerce, former Chief of Staff to Tommy Thompson, and for those of us who've been around a while, have white in our beard, better known as Billy Mack, the boy wonder, Bill McCaution. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you here. Sholly, let's start with you quickly, because I did leave you time at the end there. Just as someone who's been around news for a while, what's just a personal, from covering this governor, what's kind of a takeaway or memory that you will have of Governor Tony Evers?
That's a great question, and I've had a break to think about it. Well, his folksy charm, right? When you talk to folks outside of Wisconsin, they know him for saying holy mackerel and for reserving the worst swear words that we can't say on this radio network for truly the most high profile fights with the Republican legislature. But I also have to say, on a more day-to-day level, the fact that we are in divided government, the fact that Evers came after, that the governor came after former Governor Walker in this time of very tense partisan divide, and we're still in divided government, it has felt like a different period, epic, in Wisconsin politics. And so one of those things in divided government that we always look at is that veto pen. The governor has the most powerful veto pen in Wisconsin than of all governors in across the nation. And he has wielded that quite frequently, about a third of the time, according to a New York Times analysis of the Legislative Reference Bureau data from several years ago. But quite often he vetoes bills in a period of divided government. That is a significant thing.
Dan Schaefer, let's set it up for Bill quickly. Run down the list of people that, you know, as they, people are saying, who are people saying, who are the top Democrats right now that people are looking at to run as Tony Evers announces he will not seek a third term?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a whole lot of people jump into the mix. As Shali noted earlier, the last time we had a Democratic primary, there were quite a few candidates running for governor. So initially on my list, I have Attorney General Josh Call, State Senator Kelda Royes, former party chair Ben Wickler, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. I would also add former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes to the mix there. He mentioned to me today that he is considering a run for governor. He's thinking about it and will consider. So we'll have to keep a watch on what he'll say as well. And former current Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, he has also, his spokesman has also mentioned that if Evers were not to run, that he might jump into the mix as well. So it could be a very big, crowded primary, which, you know, would be very interesting. And I think presents a real opportunity for voters to determine the next step for the party and their leadership in Wisconsin.
Bill McCosham, when you heard the news today, what was kind of your personal reaction to it? And on the Republican side, what does this mean for the Republicans who are already in the race, and who might we see looking forward?
Well, I'll start with the question you asked, Shally, and that's my one word for Tony Evers is undefeated. If you look at candidates who have won statewide twice or at least three times or more, there's only two on the Democratic side, Tony Evers and Tammy Baldwin. On the Republican side, there's only one, Ron Johnson. So that's a pretty rare feat to go undefeated statewide. My old boss, Tommy Thompson, won four gubernatorial races, but then lost a U.S. Senate race to Tammy Baldwin in 2012. So I'd say undefeated. I think this is also a legacy period for him. I thank him for his service. I think Dan did a service to his readers and civic media viewers and listeners with a piece he wrote a few weeks back. He got a lot of grief for it, but he pushed the envelope. He said some very positive things about the governor, but then encouraged them to, you know, think hard about not running for re-election and go out on a what would be called a legacy. The truth is he has signed four bipartisan budgets. That's pretty rare as well. So that's a point Shally made. I mean, he sort of toned down things in Madison in a lot of different ways. So for us on the Republican side, it's an opportunity. There have only been, this is the second open gubernatorial race in my 60 years on this planet. The only other one was in 2010, where Scott Walker beat Mark Newman in a Republican primary and then went on to beat Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett in the general election. They faced off against each other again just 2 years later in a recount, which Walker won by an even larger margin. But it's pretty rare in Wisconsin politics to have an open gubernatorial seat. So for me, all the Dems Dan listed are credible. I don't think they're all going to ultimately be in the race, and we can go over that later. But for us, we have Josh Shulman, Washington County Executive, already in the race. Businessman Bill Berrien just got in the race about 10 days ago. I expect there to be several more now that it's an open seat. I think a lot of people were worried about running against an incumbent who's very good at raising money. You say what you want about Tony Evers' political abilities, raising money was not a problem for him ever. So, you know, and there's significant advantages of incumbency. So for us, it's a real opportunity to take back the seat. Not having an incumbent in there creates an opportunity. And I think as a result of that, you're going to see more candidates get in the race.
a minute left. Bill, can you stick to the break and join us for a couple minutes on the other side as well? All right, cool. Quickly then, a minute to go. Congressman Tom Tiffany in the 7th. This guy's been running, I think, for governor for the last umpteen years, although he likes to deny it. How soon is Tom Tiffany going to get in?
Well, what he said a couple weeks ago was he was going to wait till late fall. That's too late. You can't wait that long. But if he doesn't run, I am starting to expect State Senator Mary Felskowski to run. And, you know, being the only female in the primary could be advantageous for her. On the Republican side. But I think there will be others there, you know, players to be named later that we haven't heard of before now that there's an open seat.
Bill McCoshin is joining us as Republican strategist, Shally Pittman, news director for Civic Media, and political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, as well. Don't go anywhere. News, sports, weather update. Pam Yonke, farm news, going to come back live from Green Bay Preble High School. Might talk a little hockey with McCoshin on the other side as well. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Deputy U.S. Attorney General Todd Blanche meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell in Tallahassee, Florida Thursday as the push for answers grows in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Maxwell currently serving a 20-year sentence for her role in Epstein's sex trafficking of minors. ABC's Catherine Falders.
After that meeting, of course, they were behind closed doors here at the courthouse in the U.S. Attorney's Office. But we caught Ghislaine Maxwell's lawyer, David Marcus, who said, well, she answered all the questions and answered them honestly. There were a lot of questions. We went all day, and she answered every single one of them, but no indication on exactly what she was asked by the Deputy Attorney General, what specific topics that she focused on.
After weeks of simmering tensions, armed clashes have now broken out between Thailand and Cambodia along a disputed area of their border. Amid warnings of a growing famine in Gaza, French President Emmanuel Macron announcing his country will now recognize a Palestinian state. This is ABC News.
The Brewers coming home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, a good West Coast trip for the Brewers, winning 5 of their 6 games. Yesterday, 17 hits in a 10-2 victory over the Mariners. Bryce Terang went 3 out of 5 with 3 runs batted in. Manager Pat Murphy.
Terang, you know, responded with some hits and a lot of good performances. Ortiz, really good, played good defense, relentless, kind of stayed with it, scored in a bunch of different innings. That's what it takes.
The Brewers at home tomorrow night against the Marlins. NFL, the Packers training camp underway. The players getting their first look at their new state-of-the-art locker room.
Oh, man, I was amazed. Obviously, we, you know, knew all throughout OTAs that they've been building this new locker room and putting a lot of work into it. This is completely different than, obviously, the locker room we were in before, and it's very cool. So very high-tech. You know, everything's very nice in here. So we're definitely blessed to be in here.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Many blame the cancellation of The Late Show with Steve Colbert on the Paramount Skydance merger deal and say it was political, including Colbert, who had some choice F-words for the president. If it was political, Paramount should have thought harder about which presidential adversary to fire. The studio just gave Trey Parker and Matt Stone $1.5 billion in a new contract. During the much-anticipated Season 27 debut episode, Parker and Stone wrote a blistering takedown of the president. The story involved a romantic or sex scene between Trump and Satan and also showed the president taking off all his clothes in the desert. Maybe Colbert got fired because he wasn't dirty enough? Here's a story that might not feel so good about a guy who made us feel so good. Trumpet expert Chuck Mangione has passed away at the age of 84. Mangione was known for his tune Feels So Good, which was a big hit in the 70s. It was a great tune. Rest in peace, Chuck. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight, showers and storms ending, mostly cloudy skies. We'll be near 70 at sunrise, a light west wind. On Friday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, a couple of showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-80s, some heavy rainfall coming our way Friday night. Right now, it's 73.
The John and Gordy Show.
I'm damn awful tired of dealing with flat forks. Who made flat forks in the first place? They could have cupped it just a little bit, right? No one likes forks. Am I the only one?
Maybe.
Seriously.
Maybe.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our Friday morning show, Rocker will join us at 7:35 with a preview of Atwood Fest.
And we will soon be offering free rides in the John and Gordy space car.
Listen to them weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show. We are live on location at Green Bay Preble High School, beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Packer training camp underway just down the road here from us. Our very own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, covering that. We'll bring you sports updates throughout the afternoon as well from Mike on the Packers' chances this year. Right now, though, we're up here to cover the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Going to be talking to some of the fine folks who are putting this on, discussing K-12 public education at greater length later on this hour and in hour two. But the top news story of the day takes precedent. This is a breaking special news edition of the show. Joining me to break down the announcement by Democratic Governor Tony Evers a little over 2.5 hours ago via Twitter on a video that he will not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. Joining us to continue to discuss this, our very own political editor, Dan Schaefer, joining us from his home studio in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to help us. This is very discombobulating for a lot of political reasons, Dan Schaefer, so help us recombobulate. And also, he's the founder of the Recombobulation Area as well. And on the Republican side, Bill Mikasa, longtime political strategist, former chief of staff to Governor Tommy Thompson and Secretary of Commerce. Guys, let's talk about this a little bit more on the, because for political geeks like us, this is like kids in a candy store, right? As Bill said, first open seat since 2010, was it, Bill?
Right.
So, I mean, this is just crazy because it's going to be open seats on both sides. As we all know, in this game of politics, now more than ever, money is the mother's, you know, my former boss, Dale Schultz, said there are three rules to politics. Remember who your friends are, keep your ducks in a row, and raise more money. No matter what, raise more money. So who are the candidates, Dan, on the Democratic side, Bill, on the Republican side, who can have the ends to raise that money? Dan?
That's a great question. You know, it'll all depend on who eventually jumps into the mix. You know, I mean, for one example, Ben Wickler has been talked about as a potential statewide candidate. I don't know if this is going to be the time for him, but he's obviously has a pretty prolific record as a fundraiser. You know, you look at Attorney General Josh Call, he's won two statewide races. He's certainly going to be in the mix. You know, Kelda Royes has been, you know, a pretty accomplished state senator after her run in 2018. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has ties to some pretty, you know, deep pockets in his run in Milwaukee when he initially ran in 2020 and won that race. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of where that piece of it lines up. And yeah, you're right. It's always smart to follow the money on these things. So, you know, once the first financial reports come in a couple months, that will be a very important one to watch to kind of read some of those tea leaves for how this is taking shape.
Caution, as you noted earlier, Josh Shulman, Washington County executive, already in the race. Businessman Bill Berrien also in. Lots of others could, but who? Those that are in and who could possibly get in, who has the ability to raise the money on the GOP side, Bill?
Well, you know, someone like Sean Duffy, if he were to decide to come home and he got the Trump endorsement on our side, that's the end of the primary. Whoever gets the Trump endorsement
really?
In the primary, and it's not going to matter how much money they raised, So that would be pretty important. I don't expect Sean to come home and run, but I think he'd have an opportunity to clear the field. But having said that, we've got two guys in Showman and Berrien. You know, there's rumblings about Tiffany. There's rumblings about State Senator Mary Felskowski. But I wouldn't be surprised to hear a few other names over the course of the next month as people explore this possibility, because it is so rare that this has come around. If you got, if you've always thought about doing this, this would be the time. Is there another self-funder like an Eric Hovde or a Tim Michaels? Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean there isn't one out there. And money can buy you name ID. And in a primary, that's very, very important. The turnout in the primary is about 1/3 of what it is in a general election. And it's very specific where the turnout comes for both sides. So someone like a David Crowley on the Democratic side would be pretty well positioned in that situation, because Milwaukee County produces disproportionate share of the primary votes.
Let's talk about some of these people before we get to who might be in. We talked about this on the break, and we'll bring it back. But before we go there, let's talk about those that we've already named here. Josh Shulman was on this program when we were up at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, was really impressed with him. Seems like he's a great retail politician. Bill Berrien stumbled a little bit out of this gate. What I was interested in Bill, is when Shulman was on this program, I asked him that question, do you need Trump's endorsement? And he goes, look, I'm a fan of President Trump, but it's more important to me what the people of Wisconsin think. Was a little nuanced in it. Yeah. And over the weekend on Upfront on WISN's program, Bill Berrien was asked by Matt Smith, and he went right out and said, yeah, I got to have that endorsement. Two very takes on that.
Yeah, if you look at 2022, though, Rebecca Clayfish had a very substantial lead in that primary. There actually wasn't a primary. Tim Michaels got in April of 2022. And by late July, he secured Trump's endorsement, actually the Friday before the primary, and he was able to win the primary by 5 points. So it is very impactful in a low turnout primary, because Trump voters, at least in those situations, have turned out. So I think it is going to be critical to get through the primary to have that endorsement. And it's going to be a very steep mountain to climb if you don't have it and you decide to stay in.
We're live at Green Bay Preble High School talking about the breaking news of the day. Governor Tony Evers saying he will not run for a third term. Bill McCosh, Republican strategist, joined us via StreamYard. Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, joining us from his office in Milwaukee. Dan, on the Democratic side, I think the chattering class, the mainstream media, they're going to be ready to announce or anoint Josh Call. I don't think he can win a Democratic primary because of his lack of going after the fake voters in Wisconsin. I just think that he seems to want it too much, and I just don't think the Democrats have a stomach for it. Am I wrong?
I think because he's won two statewide races, he's certainly going to be one of the first names you hear. Whether that is the same type of level of support for governor as he's had for attorney general, you know, obviously that remains to be seen. And I think you're right. There will be some people who will be critical of his actions, you're kind of slow walking the case against the fake electors. I don't know if he's really made enough headlines over his time as attorney general to really break through beyond just like the political chattering class of what people's perceptions of him really are. So I think that's going to be interesting to see. But, the Democratic field doesn't have the issue like what Mr. McCoshin identified with the Republican side. On the Republican side, it's all going to come down to Trump's endorsement. I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, you look at the congressional primary that we had in the 8th district with eventually won by now state representative or now Congressman Tony Weed. You know, he got the Trump endorsement. Every single one of his signs said Trump endorsed Tony Weed, yeah, and he right. cruised through the primary and was able to win that general election as well. So I think that is absolutely the key factor looking at the Republican side. On the Democratic side, we've all been waiting to see what the governor's going to do. And I think as much as we've, Todd, you and I have talked about over the last couple of weeks, things have been kind of trending in this direction that he's not going to seek a third term. You know, there was still some uncertainty about that. And so I think this field is, still is going to take shape in the coming days, weeks, months here. There's a lot of time until the primary. Wisconsin's primary isn't until August of the year of the election. So, there's a lot that can happen, obviously, between now and then. And I think, you know, as far as, you know, we've ran through a number of names, a half dozen names, whatever it is, I expect there to be far more than that, too. I think this is going to be a big, weird primary. And as I noted in the column that I wrote a few weeks back, I think that's a good thing. I think there's been so many like post-2024, where do Democrats go from here? You know, how do we message? What do we do? I think it needs to be the voters who make that decision, not the chattering class, not people looking for the Joe Rogan of the left or who's talking about what, you know, tactic Democrats should take. It should be the voters who decide where the party goes from here, who their leaders are going to be. I think Democrats have avoided primaries to their detriment in recent past. And I think this is a real opportunity for the state in so many ways.
All right. As much as I'm going to have to take some Pepto-Bismol after we bring this up, Dan Schaefer, I've been setting stuff up here. Beautiful. By the way, Green Bay Preble High School, what a beautiful high school here in a beautiful part of the state. Shout out to all of them for hosting us up here today. But over the break, Dan Schaefer, you've been monitoring Twitter while I've been doing this. Like a phoenix or a bad penny, whichever you want to say, former Governor Scott Walker putting out cryptic tweets on the Twitter. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so Scott Walker has tweeted twice since the news of about Tony Evers. He posted one with a Make America Great Again hat that was the 45-47, and he said, interesting. So I think what he's alluding to here is perhaps serving in non-consecutive terms, as President Trump is doing now. And Scott Walker, you know, obviously the governor before Tony Evers defeated him in 2018. Would Scott Walker run again? That's my question for Mr. McCashin over here. Is Scott Walker going to make another run for governor? What to make of these cryptic tweets?
Bill, what say you?
Too soon to tell. I think Scott Walker's got another run in him. He's younger than I am. Will it be in 2026 to run for governor? I'm not sure. Or is it 2028 if Ron Johnson doesn't run for United States Senate? But Scott Walker, I think, is 57 years old. So he's a young man. He's got statewide name ID. He's got an ability to raise money himself. But that would be new. He wasn't on the list of potentials until 2 hours ago.
funny how that happens in politics, right? Listeners of this show know I'm a former Republican. I still have friends in the party. Bill still talks to me. God love him. But, you know, I think there are people in there. I was super impressed with Josh Shulman as a retail politician. I saw Scott Walker campaign a lot. To me, my personal opinion, it's forced. It's sappy. It's syrupy. It's not genuine. It ain't no Tommy Thompson. Josh Shulman seems like a guy who really means it, who's genuine and authentic and can connect with people. I think Berrien is already, he's disqualified himself with his Nikki Haley stuff. And I don't know, it doesn't seem like a deal. I think there are other Republicans out there, Bill. Sean Duffy, I might not vote for him. I think he's a legit candidate. But, boy, it just seems like Scott Walker brings a lot of baggage getting into this race.
Well, I'll pick up on your first point. Shulman's working his tail off. He is very authentic. He's got a great resume. Not only has he run a county, one of the top 10 counties in the state, but he's also a veteran. So I would not underestimate Josh Shulman's ability in this race. And Dan and I have had some offline communication about that where we disagree. But nobody will outwork him. Can he raise enough money to get his name ID high enough to win the primary? That's really the question for him. And we'll know more on the January report. He did okay on the July report, but he's going to need to triple that at least on his January report to be considered credible, especially considering who might get in this race over the next few months. So we'll see how our side shakes out. My guess is there's going to be some more teases like Scott Walker's over the next few weeks, but doesn't necessarily mean somebody's going to get in the race. They may just be trying to get attention. We'll see.
Let me ask you this. Our mutual friend Trigby Olson said, I walked back to Wisconsin to work on two races for governor. One is Ben Wickler. The other is Mr. Bill McCashin. Bill, any inkling, any thought that you might consider getting in this race?
I've had a few texts today, but what I tell those texters is you got to talk to my wife. This decision was made in 22 by my wife. I was prepared to run that year.
So you're thinking, but you're not saying no.
I don't see it in the. I'm a happily married man, and I love my family, and I'm not going to.
You know, our mutual friend, the late great Senator Tim Cullen, told me many years ago. He said, "Todd, anytime in politics, somebody says anything but a no, it's a yes, and anything but a yes, it's a no." So it's not a no. It's not a no for Bill McCashin. All right, a little under 2 minutes left. Dan Schaefer, final thoughts.
No, we have 30 seconds.
Oh, 30, I guess, all right, 30 seconds. Sorry, I'm on location. Bill McCashin, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, my friend. Dan Schaefer, always a pleasure as well. We'll come back live from Green Bay after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwab,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Title Ball Show, live on location in beautiful Green Bay at Green Bay Preble High School. Glad to have you along here for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. That was really what led us here today, and super happy to be here. But the breaking news of the day, of course, Governor Evers announcing he will not seek a third term. That took top billing here for the first part of the show. So many thanks to our guests, Sholly Pittman, News Director of Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, Political Editor at Civic Media, and founder of the Recombobulation Area, and Political Strategist Bill McCashin, all for joining us. And now, at the table, we can actually talk about the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit here. The Northeast Regional Coordinator of the organization, Denise Gomer-Hutchinson, is here at the table. Denise, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure to be
be here.
Well, it's so much fun, and this we're basically home for you. Where you live in Green Bay?
I do, and this is my children's home school.
Is it really?
Right.
That's amazing. That's
and I helped pass the referendum that made all the improvements that you see right here in this commons area.
Well, for those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we're in the commons. You can see Preble Pride, the Preble Hornets logo here up behind us, where some great food was served earlier. We're into the second part of this. Tell folks that might not have joined us before a little bit about the Wisconsin Public Education Network.
Wisconsin Public Education Network is a statewide coalition of advocates who are committed to high-quality public schools around the state. So we do what we can for kids and communities that serve these public schools and building partnerships so that all schools can be successful.
And it's a private organization. You're not a tax-funded anything or that. You put this together. How long has it been around?
This is our 11th annual Summer Summit,
really?
And it's been around, the organization has been around even longer than that. It came out of the need to really bring attention to fair funding for public schools, and it wasn't being done, and so Wisconsin Public Education Network was born.
I love the fact that the slogan is Public Schools Unite Us, because it shouldn't be, although it has been politicized. No matter who we vote for at the top of the ticket, everyone should be invested in our public schools.
Right. It's what we say every single day, is when kids walk through the door of a public school, nobody asks them their political affiliation. They just say hi and welcome.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Tell us a little bit about one of the successes we're literally in right now, but tell us some of the successes of Wisconsin Public Education Network in the northeast part of the state.
Well, it's very exciting. We have a huge win that we're really thrilled about. Between the Green Bay Area Public School District, their school board wrote a resolution and sent it to the mayor and asked the mayor to create transparency on the tax bill for the city of Green Bay. Mm. And the mayor, you know, looked at it, said this has to go to the city council. They took it to the city council. It went into committee. It was defeated in that committee. We brought it back the next year. Had the support we needed and brought it to the floor of the city council, and we are now putting for the first city in the state is putting the cost of vouchers on the tax bill and separating it out, so that we want taxpayers to know how much does it cost you to be funding a non-regulated, non-credited, non-transparent private school system.
I think this is so important because so many folks, the news becomes overwhelming, and they don't stop and look where their tax dollars really go, what this means. So I think breaking this out and making it understandable, I think it's a great service, because then people are going, wait, I didn't know that, right?
Right, exactly. They deserve to know. Mm-hmm. When our tax dollar, and because of what happened in the state legislature of a $0 increase to public schools, taxpayers could potentially see some raises in their income tax, or excuse me, in their property taxes. And so this tax, you know, break that they wanted to give to people could be really kind of null and void, because public schools have to keep going. And if you can't keep up with the cost of living, which there hasn't been a cost of living increase for, at the end of this budget, 18 years.
Wow. Lots of people, great attendance here at Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. What do you hope to get out of this today? What do your participants want to walk away with today?
Participants want to walk away with more knowledge on what they can do in their own communities, how to have conversations, because we want to talk to everybody, because we need doors and having community gatherings. People love their public schools in the state of Wisconsin. That's why our logo has always had a heart in it, because we know that it's the heart of the community. And so we hope that people leave here with more information, more knowledge, and re-energized to go back into their communities and say, I want to love my public schools so that our community understands the value of what we have here.
About a minute left. What have I not asked you that you want people to know about today's Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit?
There's a real need for people to come together on the issue of public education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are people that think that public education should be run as a business. Well, guess what? There's no revenue source. Right. The revenue source for public education is taxes. Mm-hmm. And when we don't get those dollars, it makes it hard to compete on an international and national level. So we're going to work every day because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you in about our 40 seconds left here, thoughts personally or politically on the Evers news of not running again today?
I am really thankful for everything that Governor Evers has done for the state of Wisconsin. When he was at the Department of Public Instruction, he moved things forward and did good things for public schools. And as governor, he's very approachable and reachable, and he cares about this state. And what more can we ask for but people who care passionately about our state? And he has served our state well. But I hope that there's somebody that wants to step in and continue his legacy of doing really good things for the state of Wisconsin.
I think that whoever is going to be the Democratic nominee would do well to grab public education as a main issue, because there's a lot of votes to get out across all spectrums.
I would totally agree with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Denise Gilmer Hutchinson, thanks for being here. Thanks for all you do. You're part of what makes Wisconsin great.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
You
come
are
on.
Too.
Well, that's too kind. Thank you very much. Come on back. Well, a live on location at Green Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Deputy Attorney General sitting down with Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell. And Todd Blanche says they'll continue their meeting in Tallahassee Friday.
As the Deputy Attorney General met with Epstein's accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, some Senate Republicans demanding the Justice Department release the full Epstein files.
I want all the information out.
Just put everything out, make it as transparent as you can.
Release the damn files.
Sources tell ABC News it was Ghislaine Maxwell who asked for the meeting here with the Deputy Attorney General. It's still not clear what questions he asked or what responses she gave. Ultimately, she wants to get out of prison.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Tallahassee. President Trump made a rare visit to the Federal Reserve to confront Fed Chair Jerome Powell about the renovation costs for the central bank's headquarters. Trump also repeating his call for Powell to bring down interest rates. The Federal Communications Commission has approved the $8 billion deal for Skydance Media to acquire Paramount. This is ABC News.